Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Welcome to another episode of Anti-Media Radio. My name is S.M. Gibson. It is Tuesday, December the 6th, 2016. We've been away from the show for a couple of episodes, and man, a lot has happened since we last spoke. The world of fake news is running rampant and everybody's terrified. Oh, the propaganda's coming to get you. I think it's pretty much common knowledge that this is not a battle of fake news. This is not a battle of Russian propaganda, which is the biggest joke with absolute zero evidence. This isn't a battle of clickbait headlines. And this is a battle of information that the establishment doesn't want out in the public narrative. The perfect example of this is what we've seen at Standing Rock. We have a story up on the front page of antimedia.org right now discussing why you can't trust the mainstream media reporting on Standing Rock, which they just started to do this weekend for the first time in months. The only reason people know about what's going on in Standing Rock is because of social media, is because of pages like the Free Thought Project, Anti-Media, Unicorn Riot, ton of respect goes out to them. They've covered this from top to bottom and been on the ground. Derek Vrose has worked with Mint Press, Anti-Media. Conscious Resistance is his main outlet, but he's one of the journalists with us as well. And he's done incredible work. People only know what's going on because of that. So they can't shut out these narratives that they don't want us knowing about, and they're having to deal with the consequences. We saw this in 2013 with the Syria war. And think about all the lies that were being told about the war in Syria. Oh, there's chemical weapons being used, and it's this story and that story. Look at weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. These same people now have the audacity to talk about fake news. They've been pushing fake news down people's throats for months. What do you call the mainstream media for a year saying that Donald Trump's never going to be president, ever? The polls say this. Well, guess what? That was all fake, wasn't it? Because Hillary Clinton, the president? That's what they said. Or maybe they just got caught having an egg on their face because they're usually wrong. They usually are just reading off the script that they're given, and it's all falling apart. We're going to talk about that and a lot more tonight. I want to go ahead and bring on one of our co-hosts this evening, the wonderful Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, man. Good to be back with you.
You as well, sir. So we've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to sit here and we're going to try to have Shannon on as well. But give me your thoughts real quick, Kevin, on your take on this Russian propaganda, fake news, rhetoric that's being spewed constantly right now.
Well, it's funny that it took the whole Pizzagate thing for that to really crank up. But, you know, it started out with Hillary Clinton saying that this was all a Russian propaganda piece. You know, I think she was one of the big pieces. And she had the nerve to come out and tout the fact that United States so-called intelligence services were the ones that were actually identifying this stuff as Russian propaganda and as the Russians interfering in the elections and so forth. And none of that seems to be the case. It seems to be more of a play. You know, we asked the question early on, if Hillary Clinton did not get to be president, would this stuff die down with Russia? You know, as far as the war that looked like it was still pending in Syria. And I didn't expect for this whole Russian propaganda piece to be the narrative they pushed. But lo and behold, this seems to be it. And I'm not surprised one bit. It's just another tactic. I think it's just interesting that Russia seems to be the one that this is aimed at. I'm going to see how this is going to change when Donald Trump gets to be elected. I don't think he's got the same relationship with him as though what the media seems to be. So.
Well, I think it's really important it's not so much the Russian propaganda. I think that's very much McCarthyism at this point, and it's just the boogeyman of the hour. But they're really turning this on outlets inside the United States once we saw what came out with Propernot. And out of the 200 sites listed, anti-media was number 13 on the list as Russian propaganda. That's an absolute farce. That is literally just make-believe. And look, where's my check? Where's my check? And I get this useful idiot stuff. We've criticized Trump constantly for the past year. We've criticized Russia. What anti-media says, and you have people like Ron Paul and Zero Hedge, and even InfoWars. And look, we can sit here and we can talk about InfoWars, and people can say what they want about Alex Jones, but I don't think anybody's calling him a Russian propagandist. He is what he is, but that's a joke. And they've printed this information. The Washington Post, while writing a story about fake news, is citing something that is completely fictional, completely from top to bottom fictional. And they're using anonymous sources. Well, we're not going to tell you who you are, and we have no proof of any of this, but the Washington Post runs it anyway. The same Washington Post, which talked about repeatedly during the election, they ran a story insinuating that when Hillary Clinton collapsed, it was because she was poisoned by Russia. The Washington Post, as I see it, is writing literal, just make-believe conspiracy fake news. And yet pointing the finger, and because they have years behind them of giving people information and a ton of money and a name that, you know, goes back to Watergate and respected for that in particular, but it's a household name. And so people just automatically assume, well, it was printed there, so it must be true. People I know, Kevin, people I know have tried to argue with me, saying, well, if they printed it, it's like, you know me. You know there's nothing about me that has anything to do with Russia or Russian propaganda or any of that. You know that's made, well, then why would they print it? Because they make up stuff. They lie. How many wars have we been in, and how many truths were told to drag us into those wars? They lie over and over and over, and it's becoming more apparent. They're getting way more desperate because I think they see that their time has come. People have shut this off. And Donald Trump ran a presidential campaign. For whatever you want to say about Donald Trump, sticking his middle finger up at the media while ironically, using them to his own advantage. But he was doing it while insulting them the whole time. People at Trump rallies screaming, F CNN, F at mainstream media. People are tired of being lied to, and they finally realize that they're being lied to. So now they're turning this whole narrative on its head. Well, everybody else is fake news, and we're telling the truth. I'm going to go ahead and bring on Mr. Shannon Madden right now. Shannon, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing this evening?
What's up?
Can't complain, sir.
Just being propagandists.
That's it.
So yeah, Shannon, there's a lot of that going on. Yeah. Did you get your check from Putin this week? Because is it supposed to be from this week or next week? I can't remember.
They gonna have.
I got some bills to pay.
They got some. Yeah, I haven't got a check yet. What's going on with this? Where's my check? When's that coming in the mail? Come on, Vlad.
You know. I mean, again, this is a whole new, not only just politically, but if you think about it, you know, with news media attacking one another, if you will, the establishment media versus the alternative media online and another, you know, places that you can spread information. Now there's, I mean, everybody's spreading all sorts of information, some of it true, some of it not so true. Hey, quick question. You know, a little off topic, but kind of on topic. Pizzagate, the shooter at the Comet Ping Pong Pizza, is it? Apparently, their guy walked in there with a rifle and is already fingers are being pointed at alternative media over that. You know, Justin King, the writer of the Fifth Column, the El Presidente of Fifth Column, who's a frequent guest on the show, pointed out the fact that, you know, everybody has been really quick to rush that, you know, alternative news started this situation, but nobody is investigating anything. Everybody is pretty much, you know, citing the company line, as it were. And that right there is big.
Do you have the Justin King post from earlier in front of you? I was trying to find it real quick because I think it's very relevant to what we're talking about.
I can pull it up because I actually reposted it in a little group that I frequent from time to time. Hang on one second. Let me see if I can't pull this up.
While you look for that, I want to actually read a quote from Nick Burnaby, the editor-in-chief of Anti-Media. Something he said today, it's funny how the media is saying fake news has finally come home to roost with the D.C. Pizzagate gunman. But I could have sworn fake news killed over 1 million Iraqis and thousands of U.S. troops that were tricked into going over there. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about just a few seconds ago. But, you know, again, this is just some narrative. And I want you to, once you find the Justin King thing.
I do. I've got it in front of me right now. He posted on Facebook, a number of corporate news stations who have called Pizzagate, quote unquote, fake news, 16. Number that have investigated and provided any other explanation for the evidence, 0. He goes on to say, I'm not saying it's real. I'm not saying it's fake. I'm saying that media is reading from a script, much like when the British media covered up a pedo ring in Westminster. To them, it does not matter if it's true. It's not on the prompter. And that sealed the deal for me. I shared that one, the one that you just quoted from Nick. I actually shared that one, too. And you know, those are very valid points. And again, nobody's saying that, you know, this is a true thing. We've looked into it and it's creepy. We don't know what's going on, but there's definitely something a lot more. And I'm not saying with every single thing that I saw, some of it was just happened to be Podesta at a pizza place or a DNC party at an actual pizza place. And everybody's actually eating a pepperoni pizza and drinking some Pepsi and talking about how they're going to, you know, get those Republicans in the next primary or whatever DNC staffers do. Kill one another. Look, man, it's just a really, really, really weird rabbit hole to go down.
It is. I want to say this, though. I think Justin's post It's so important. And I think that's what's really what we should be focusing on is there's people out there and they're doing the whole Pizzagate thing. We've talked about it a couple of times here on the show. We haven't just, you know, focused on it like a lot of people have, but we've definitely mentioned it because I think it deserves mentioning on some level. We've also, I know I've repeatedly said, I think it would be completely, completely irresponsible for what we do reporting information to say, this is a fact, this has happened, because that is irresponsible to do. But at the same time, I think it's irresponsible to go, yeah, that never happened. I don't have proof either way. I've seen evidence, you know, some suspect looking things that go, oh, that's pretty iffy. And, you know, maybe we should look into that here. And there are people right now that are certainly doing that. I can't tell you it's true. I can't tell you it's fake. But what I can tell you, and that's why I think Justin's post was so relevant to what's happening, is you have the mainstream right now losing grasp and people's attention of believing them, and they just repeat over and over and over. And the original New York Times article that referenced Pizzagate when they shut the whole thing down, oh, it never happened, they offered no evidence. They did not rebut one single bit of information that's out there. They just repeat this line. It's fake news. It's fake news. They said it like 17, 8, whatever the number was. The
16.
Phrase,
yeah.
The phrase fake news over and over in this article. And it's the exact same thing they've done on TV talking about this gunman. It's fake news. It's fake, 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 fake. Well, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But why? Why is it fake? Your job as the media is to tell us why this is fake. You can't just go, well, it's fake, because we've heard you go, well, there's just weapons of mass destruction, we should go over there and do this, or there's, you know, there's just chemical weapons, they're just throwing babies out of incubators, we need to go over to the war. You know, they tell us all this garbage for years and lie over and over. Well, he's not going to win. He's never going to win. Hillary's going to be the president. Nobody listens to these morons. But, and they just expect people to go, well, they said it was fake. Why is it fake? Do your job. Do your job. Don't just go, well, it's fake. And, you know, if they had this whole breakdown to explain to people why it was, other than, well, the owner said it wasn't true. Yeah, well, fair enough. Open and shut. And again, that's not to say it is true. But the media is not there to tell you what to believe. The media is there to give you information, and they're not giving people information. They're telling people what to believe, what to shut out, what to ignore. Listen to us, though. Listen to us. Ignore this. That's not their job. The job of whether it's anti-media or CNN is to deliver information to people and let people come to their own conclusions with as honest of information as you can put in front of them. Don't sit there and say, this is what you need to believe. And that's what corporate media has 1,000% turned into. It's been that way for years. It's a PR firm.
Well, you know, news in this day and age, it's almost like going to the supermarket. All right? You go to the supermarket, and let's say you, instead of getting a bunch of prepackaged, already in a box, you know, ready to go with a bunch of, just really nasty, horrible preservatives, and just doesn't even taste good, like a frozen dinner or a frozen pizza or something like that, versus actually going and getting the ingredients, getting the salt and the pepper and the flour and, you know, the butter and all of the ingredients to make a meal that you want to eat yourself. And I think that's what we're seeing with the mainstream media versus the alternative media. The mainstream media is fighting hard against this shit. You know, they're fighting hard about exactly what we're trying to do right now. And all we're doing is we're just giving you the raw ingredients. You have to go put it together yourself. You know, that, and again, we're going to give you enough information and try to make it as, you know, insightful as we can. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's up to you to do your own homework and find out what, and you know, and separate what's fact from what's fiction.
Well, no, and I what's disagree already with that pre-packed. To
agree. All right.
I disagree with that. On some level, and I'll tell you why. Because I think it is our job to research and make sure that the stories we're presenting are as accurate as possible. For instance,
correct.
For when we report on casualties that are going on over in Iraq or Afghanistan or a drone strike here or a drone strike there, people aren't going to go out there to research that. Understand that. They've got their own lives they have to lead and they're busy. But what we can do is present that information. And once you see this information over and over and over and you see all these things and you see how the narrative is going in reality, especially with foreign policy, and yet you hear what politicians say, and you see that doesn't line up with the reality. What I feel like our job is to present people with the reality of the situation. This is actually what's happening over there. This is what's actually happening in Standing Rock. Now, when a politician tells you, well, we need to do this, well, why do we need to do that? Because everything you're saying doesn't align with what's the truth. That's what I feel that the job of whether it's corporate media or alternative media, I feel like that's the job of journalists and even commentators, is to present people with the reality of a situation. And that's where people have to pick up and go, okay, because of the information presented in front of me, what do I really believe about this? And this is where we need to put our foot down on this, and we can't believe this politician, or we can't do this certain thing.
All right, so let me go ahead and flip that coin real quick, because here's the other side of that. Not every writer and not every commentator is correct. Not every writer, not every commentator is getting correct information, even though as well-meaning as they may seem when they get on the air. We're guilty of this. You know, we've you know, harped on a subject or two which we really felt strongly about, and to come to find out it was maybe not as bad as what we thought it was, or you know what I'm saying? I mean, it happens, you know, especially when you have so much information to glean through these days, you know, coming from so many different sources. And that's why I'm kind of stressing that it's important that when you pick up your sack of flour to go take home and make some fried chicken with, that there's actually really flour in the bag. And yeah, you're right. It is up to us as, you know, the presenters of this information to make sure there's flour in that bag instead of sawdust. You know what I mean, Bern?
That's it. But, you know, and I think the only reason, and you're completely correct when you say there's people that are wrong, but there's so much information out there, and you can listen to this outlet or you can listen to that outlet, and you're getting completely, totally different information. But a lot of that is because of corporate media. The only reason we have seen the rise in alternative media, via social media, via online sources, Drudge Report even, is because that people are sick and tired of being lied to via corporate media. There should not be a place for alternative media if the world ran correctly, because corporate media would be doing their job. They would be holding people accountable. They wouldn't be trying to set a certain agenda, but they would be trying to present facts to hold politicians and people in general accountable for what they are doing, and stop trying to, you know, play this whole spin. But because it's been nothing but lies and propaganda pumped down people's throats for years and years and years, we have seen the rise of an alternative media, and people need to understand that's why alternative media exists. It doesn't exist for any other reason, because people would shut it out and people would ignore it if they were actually being told the truth from people like CNN or Fox News or NBC or whatever, take your pick. But Standing Rock is such an important talking point with this. They didn't cover it. They ignored it. It was ignored, and because of alternative media doing the job of corporate media, it was clear that people wanted to know this information. It's very obvious that people were hungry to know what was happening up there, because you have thousands of veterans that go up there. How did all those veterans find out about this? Because of people on social media, alternative media, talking about it. It certainly wasn't because of CNN or Fox or any corporate outlet. It was because the alternative media is doing their job for them. And now they're freaking out because they realize that they're dinosaurs. And so now they're turning it on its head, calling everybody propaganda or everybody fake news. But the reality of it is they are the fake news. Their day in the sun's over. Now, they still have all the money in the world behind them. They still have these established names, the Washington Post and CNN and blah, 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 blah. That doesn't make what they do true. It doesn't make what they do real. It makes what, you know, they've become a joke. They've sadly become a joke.
Real quick. What are you going to do?
I know.
60 Minutes. Man, that's a great show.
It's all fantastic. I tell you what, I want to flip the script here just for a second and bring up the Walter Scott mistrial. I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't know how to frame this other than what? Are you kidding me? 18 feet away, 5 shots in the back, running away. You kill a guy. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what the circumstances are. Like, really? How is a mistrial? And yet, people are still confused that there's not justice in this country on certain situations. And that goes.
Have both of you viewed all of the footage from that? From the beginning and in the initial traffic stop where he initially engages Walter Scott, to the cell phone, the secret cell phone, you know, thankfully that footage exists, where he shoots him and then, you know, there's a bunch of commotion, other officers show up, and it appears that he plants the taser to support the story that his taser had been stolen. In any of the footage that I've seen, Walter Scott does not point anything at Michael Slager. He just keeps on running.
I think we've all seen the video. We covered this kind of heavily at some point back when this kind of was fresh on the scene. And so, yeah, I think we did.
Have you gone back and watched it recently? Because when the trial came back up, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago before they announced the verdict. I went back and looked at it again, and it's just, it is so heartbreaking. It really is.
That was infuriating.
And then for this verdict to come down,
It doesn't even make sense whatsoever how they would come up with, you know, mistrial. And you know, a lot of that I truly feel is a bigger problem. It's Stockholm syndrome. I hate to use something so kind of cliche, but what else can that be? Like, how are you?
Let's call it what it really is: bootlicking. There is a huge, and again, South Carolina is nestled right here in the South. There is a huge racial disparity in that community. There have been a lot. I mean, you know, the Dylan Roof incident, for instance. There's a very racially charged environment in South Carolina. Anytime that we see a South Carolina headline, you have a police shooting, you have, just some really, you know, the images of the old Jim Crow era, put it that way. Here in 2016.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Has anybody seen the jury breakdown as far as the demographics of who voted what and what the vote total was for the verdict that was issued?
No, and I'll tell you what. I get it. I know. I understand. Nobody's saying racism isn't real. Nobody's saying racism doesn't exist. I don't care. I don't care what skin color the juror was that held out. I could care less because you know what? They're an idiot, no matter what skin color they are. We've all seen the video. Okay, we've all seen the situation.
Yeah, it should have been a unanimous vote. I mean, I'm sorry. There's no getting around that video. There's just no getting around.
It's true. We've all seen it. We've all seen the evidence. The original story was he reached for the gun. I had to shoot him. And then you see the video of which actually took place, proving the cop was lying about the entire situation. People forget before that the cell phone footage was released, this was just a little story in the back of the paper. Man reaches for cop's gun. Cop shoots guy in the story. Everything's going to be all right. And then the cell phone footage came out. And we saw a completely different version of events than what was told. And they had to start backpedaling. And it's like, oh, wait, now this guy's getting charged with murder, which coming from the video shows he should be charged with murder. And there's video. There's video. We've seen it. We were there. We live in a different age than we used to back in the 50s when you got, you know, crooked cop stories and all this stuff. We can see it as it happens. And there's no getting around that one. There's not. So, look, you know, whatever the reason may have been, whatever, I don't care what the moron who says that's not murder skin color is. They're still an idiot moron. And it's a joke. I don't understand how you don't, in any way, shape, or form, want to hold that man accountable for killing someone in cold blood. Ooh, because of his job? Who cares? He killed somebody. And it's not like there was no self-defense. It was 18 feet away in the back five times. Who justifies that? What kind of sick person justifies that? Whatever the reasons are. But whatever. Yeah, I mean, we've seen this over and over. It's just infuriating.
Well, it's good to know at least there's going to be another trial. So at least we know there's a chance that this wrong gets righted.
Yeah, so at least he didn't get let off the hook completely, right?
Right.
Because well, I got to bring up, too, that there was an out-of-court settlement with his family. The city of North Charleston agreed in October 2015 to pay $6.5 million to Scott's family. So that in and of itself seems to be at least an admission of guilt from the city or from the city standpoint.
You know, I don't see any other way. Oh, of course I would agree. And, you know, the footage exists. There's no really way around it. Now, because obviously the city, via that settlement, they're showing that they are culpable in some way of this, and yet with the person...
$6.5 million? Yeah, that's pretty culpable.
But at the end of the day, even, you know, he's an employee, he's hired, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, the city didn't shoot that man. The state didn't shoot that man. One person pulled a trigger and decided to kill somebody and shoot them in the back five times. And that is the person that needs to be held the most accountable. They personally made the decision to pull the trigger and kill. And for what? I would assume, I can't speak for Slager, but what I can say, she was soon, it's this power trip. I can do what I want. Goes and drops a weapon next to the guy, like, all right, it's going to be all right. We'll be okay. We'll get away with it. And you hear the original story. We do what we want. This position of authority, and they're untouchable. And then the cell phone footage came out. I don't know, but it's like you said, Kevin, at least we're going to get to have another go of this, and hopefully justice will be served in the situation. You know, it's a terrible situation from top to bottom. We've got families on both sides of this, and it's one evil man pulled a trigger and killed somebody that shouldn't have been killed, given the circumstances of what was happening at the time, period. it, you know, it's sad this is where our justice system's gotten, but we shall see.
It's not an isolated event, unfortunately. It's something, it's interesting. My father, who I would normally classify, I hate to throw him under the bus, but he's one of these, I'd call him probably one of these bootlicker, you know, make sure you obey the law and you won't get hurt types. And he actually saw the video, I guess, back when the stuff first came out. We had an interesting discussion, and he, I was surprised to see, I was glad to see, I was surprised to say, unfortunately, that, you know, he saw that it was painfully murder. It was painfully, obviously murder. And I think a lot of people are going to see this as murder, and I'm sure this is going to, there's going to be a lot more outrage than what we're hearing about this. But again, we're going to hear, we've got at least one more shot at this. This guy needs to go down, but you're right. His one action of one individual and the repercussions that are being felt across the whole, not just the state, but the whole country, as more and more people hear about this. The authorities want to know why they're being discredited, from the media to the law enforcement. This kind of stuff is why. It's right here in your face, and we're going to see more of it.
Right, because what kind of person goes and defends this guy? That's what I don't get. Like, who wants to stand next to this guy and go, nah, I'm going to vouch for him? Like, who? Like, no. Like, he made his decision, and he's going to have to suffer the consequences. And why there's police unions and people that want to stand up for it, that's disgusting. And that's the issue of society that we all have to deal with. Because ultimately, this is a situation of Walter Scott's family and this man. And, you know, because he was a employee that gets his check from taxpayers, that, you know, the surrounding local government as well. But the bigger implication is, who's siding with this guy? Like, who's trying to get this guy off? And that's what I think is scary. And I think that's the domino effect that we're seeing around the country, especially with, you know, Fraternal Order Police. They're going around and just getting off people, or doing their best, I say, to get off people who are clearly guilty. Like, and then when they defend somebody that, at the top of my head, I can't name a circumstance, but you have a circumstance of a cop that actually may need to kill somebody for a real justified reason. And, you know, I think that should be always last resort. But you have a situation where it really was fighting for your life, and you go defend that guy. And to me, you're just putting him in the exact same boat as you just put a guy that's clearly just some murderer that was a police officer for a living. And I think it hurts everything. I think it destroys the system from top to bottom. And how are people supposed to have faith in the system when, you know, that's how they're treated? I want to move on and get y'all's opinion real quick on the positive events at Standing Rock that we saw on Sunday. They permit was denied by the Army Corps of Engineers. This is obviously a topic we've been talking about for quite a while now, and it's the first real victory we've seen in this. But at least from my personal circumstance, I think I view it as this, and maybe I'm wrong because, you know, I'm the ultimate pessimist. I feel like this was a, all right, we stopped it. Everybody go home now. And when everybody goes home, they're like, all right, start the machines back up. Get back to work. That's kind of how I feel like this is probably going to play out, or at least the intentions of it playing out.
We all know how these things tend to work out with corporate America and the United States government and who controls who and so on and so forth. You know, there are, and there's the meme that's been, you know, floating around about all the various different, I don't know, hundreds of different pipelines that run throughout the whole United States. At the end of the day, it's still a win. The people actually got together and bought the system. And we're actually able to, you know, enact some sort of change or at least disrupt things to, you know, to at least wake people up. But at the end of the day, we all know how this works. You know, it's just like anything else where we, you know, a perfect example, the redacted 9/11 papers. You know, they finally peeled a couple of the black marks off, and we finally could see the name Saudi Arabia, and yay. You know, there was our win. We fought for that for so many years since, you know, 9/11 first happened. And there were a few people that actually happened to be watching and saying, wait a minute, why is that building over there blowing up? Where's the plane at the Pentagon? You know, just little simple questions like that that started actually leading to the truth, or at least some portion of the truth being released. Okay, well, it got released. Well, what happened with all that? We're still friends with Saudi Arabia, right?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, there's not a damn thing happened with that.
Now,
say.
And that's something, you know.
That's the pessimist in me. I sincerely hope that they will find some sort of way to reroute that pipeline or buy land around that land or whatever they've got to do to continue their project, of, you know, whatever. They're going to find a way around it. But I don't know. Part of me thinks that, yeah, people are going to pick up, move on. There's going to be the few you know, Native Americans that are originally from that area that started this whole conversation to begin with, and their tractor's just going to run right over and keep on going.
Well, here's what I'll say for it real quick. From everything that I've seen, it seemed like Sunday night protesters and people on the ground in the Sioux tribe, they celebrated and they took it as a victory. And on Monday morning, they woke up and go, you know, we've heard this all before. We've been through this, and, you know, we appreciate the gesture, but guess what? Y'all can't do this still. And we're not going to back down. And it looks like, very fortunately, that people are not falling into this trap of, well, they gave us what we want, let's all go home. It seems like people are still going to stand vigilant and stand up for what they believe in, and they're not going to just let this slide, and they're not going to let this just be some sort of a show to get everybody to, you know, go back to sleep with it. So that's the good news, I guess, in all of this. That it doesn't, these, you know, people are awake now, and people know what to trust and what not to trust, it appears. So I don't, from what I've seen, I don't see anybody going, okay, well, we won, it's over. I haven't seen that at all. A little bit Sunday night, but, you know, people, you know, fair enough. That was something to celebrate. But, you know, people seem to have their heads screwed on right for this and have the situation pretty figured out of what's possible here. And, of course, you've got the oil company saying they're going to do what they want anyway. And they haven't really deterred from that message even after this. So, unfortunately, I don't think this is over by a long shot, but it's certainly a victory for the short term for right now. And it's we're going to have to see where it goes. Hopefully we don't see any of the violence that we've seen up there, which, where was the corporate media on that? You get a girl getting her arm blown off and not a mention of anything. How in the world, like, and I don't know, we go back to this, but we are anti-media here. How does corporate media, like, under this delusion that people, like, how do they not understand why everyone hates them and why no one trusts them? You were just talking about the situation with 9/11, Shannon, and when the 28 pages were finally released, and it clearly showed connection with Saudi Arabia in, you know, the certain capacities and a definite connection between that via, you know, the embassies and blah, 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 blah. But you see the Saudi connection to 9/11. Headline news, they reported on the 28 pages for 3 minutes that I personally saw, if it was 3 minutes. And it was 28 pages were released. A spokesperson for Saudi Arabia says, okay, well, this proves we had nothing to do with it. That was the whole report. That was it. They quoted a Saudi spokesperson and said, well, this exonerates us. We're good to go now. And that's not what any of that suggested or said, but that's certainly what the media read off.
And yeah, yet, they did.
And that's what we're supposed to, like, they didn't give any facts. They didn't even rebut anything. They just said, this is what happened. This came out. And here's what a Saudi spokesperson says. The end. And that's the narrative that they clearly were trying to present and portray to the people they're supposedly trying to inform. Is they want everybody to know what the Saudi spokesperson had to say. You know, and what's he going to say? Look what we're South Carolina. The guy that does the killing's like, I didn't do nothing wrong. What are you talking about? I know you've got video and all, but whatever. And that's the same.
Yeah, and continues to tell a completely different story than what the video supported, and people bought it. It's incredible.
That's with all this. I want to bring something up real quick, too, regarding Saudi Arabia that I found very, very interesting. I'm going to try to get a story up this on the anti-media on the page tomorrow in the morning. Without going into too much detail about it, you know, Trump at one point was kind of critical of Saudi Arabia. He brought their name up on 9/11 on one, maybe two instances. He got in a Twitter battle with one of the Saudi princes. I saw over the course of the election, as we got more down to it, I think we talked about this on the show a few times. Me and Kevin, I think me and you specifically talked about this, how Trump started all of a sudden dropping Saudi Arabia from his attacks on Hillary, and all of a sudden he wasn't mentioning them anymore, even though that was such a home run of a topic that he could bring up and just pound her on, and he just kind of stopped mentioning them.
Yeah, he did.
And
even mentioned the 9/11 connection and investigating 9/11. He kind of dropped all of that. There was a little bit of chatter.
Very early on, I might add.
But the thing with Saudi is, you know, he went a little longer with Saudi even past the 9/11 stuff because of all the donations that they made to Hillary Clinton and Clinton Foundation and, you know, their human rights record, which is just deplorable. No pun intended. So he stopped talking about Saudi Arabia. And so he gets elected and the Saudis are like, all right, well, we're going to make this work. You know, bygones be bygones. But now we've seen a Saudi journalist that is a prominent journalist. Saudi Arabia has written this column for the past 5 years, wrote an article that was critical of Donald Trump last week. And now they're not going to let him write anymore. Because, you know, that's how Saudi Arabia works. You're out of that. You're not doing that anymore. To the gulags you go. You know, if they're lucky not to be beheaded, which I don't think we're going to see in this circumstance, but he's off the beat. He's no longer a journalist because he wrote an article critical of Donald Trump. Now, what does that mean? What does that say? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. But that's pretty suspect to me that we saw Saudi Arabia and Donald Trump jawing back and forth at different points during the campaign. And it was coming from Saudi Arabia, too, just like it was coming from Trump, at each other. And now they are intentionally wanting to suppress any negative critique, you know, any negative commentary on Trump. That's odd. I don't know what it means, but it's odd.
Friends helping friends. Gotta love it.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, does that really mean something huge? I don't know. You know, it's something to keep your eye on and see where that relationship goes, because we have, you know, exhausted ourselves, me especially, of just going on and on and on about Saudi Arabia. From 9/11 to the beheadings to Yemen to, you know, human rights records with women, whatever, imprisoning activists, the list goes on. And now all of a sudden this person they hated, they're just like, you can't talk bad about them. you can't talk bad. And we're not talking about it's a house, it's a royal, you know, family member, the house is solid, anything like that. We're talking about Donald Trump. You can't be critical of Donald Trump. Like, that's just a huge red flag for me. See where it goes, you know. It's speculation, but I do think it's definitely something to pay attention to. What do y'all think about old idiot Trump here doing his thank you rallies that he's doing, going out still semi campaigning even after he's won the election? Do y'all have any thoughts on that?
Well, because of the, I guess, the really just almost violent religious nature of this year's election. I think he's probably still trying to kind of soften the blow for the ones that really supported all of the hardline stuff, and just kind of let them know that, we're going to look at all this stuff, but just be glad that Hillary's not here. Just everybody chill out. You know, let's enjoy some of this great music and some, here's a little light show for you. And I'm going to get out here and do a quick dance and shuffle for you. He does understand how he got to where he's at, and now he's got to continually, I guess, manipulate whatever image or brand that he's trying to sell this time out. This isn't about change and hope and revolution and all of the crap that we heard for the past 8 years, even though that's pretty much the way it was packaged, just in a much, 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 much different way.
This is about selling
a story. To a much different audience. You know?
This is about selling his narrative. And I get it. There's so many people out there. Trump's an idiot. Trump's an idiot. Trump's an idiot. I've always expressed to people, when it comes to politics, and when it comes to being politically motivated, we're not talking about presidential, we're not talking about leadership, we're not talking about morals, whatever. We're not talking about any of that. I'm talking about politics, selling yourself, branding yourself. Donald Trump is an absolute genius. There's unquestionably he is. And people laugh at me, and you know what? Now he's the president of the United States because of it. And I still think that he's just stealing from Vince McMahon's playbook. As silly as that sounds, I don't care. Still think he's doing it. That's why he's holding rallies, because he wants to be in a room with a crowd of people. He wants to hear the cheers come back to him. That's how he knows he can control an audience, hearing it audibly.
Oh man, it's addictive. You know this. Both you and I have played in bands over the years, and man, there's something about standing on stage with a microphone in front of your face and more than five people in front of you clapping. Man, it can be addictive, especially if you have an ego as large as his.
Undoubtedly. But I think what he's going to do, for good, for bad, I don't know. On him, because I don't trust him. I hope it works out, because when you wish for him to fail, you're wishing for us all to fail, whether it's Barack Obama or anybody. You want them to do the right thing. Now, if they don't do the right thing, then that's our job to question it and call it out and say, hey, what are you doing here? But right now, he's not even president yet. I hope he does the right thing. I just don't trust him. I hope I'm wrong. I hope, he does it. But I think from this moment on, he's going to stop branding Trump for the most part, and he's going to start branding America. And that's going to be his focus. That's going to be his mission statement. He's going to turn all that branding brilliance that he has, that salesmanship, three-ring circus, and he's going to try to benefit the United States. But here's something people, I think, need to pay attention to. Because he is such a great brander, and because he is so great at marketing, I'm worried that he's going to sell a message to people and show how great and wonderful things are on this one side. Look, what he did was carrier. Democrats were praising him on that. I think he's going to do a lot of stuff like that to go, it's getting better. He just got, what, the $50 billion donation today from the bank in Japan. And it looks very good, very good, very good. And then we have to watch what's happening in the background, the stuff that he's not promoting, the stuff that he's not talking about. And I think it's very, very important. And, of course, that's way with any politician. You have to pay attention to what they're doing on the back end. Barack Obama is a perfect example of that. Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, hope and change. Everything's going to be great. We're going to give everybody free health care, blah, blah, whatever. And Obamacare is a disaster. He bombed 8 countries. The state of the country is not – there's a reason Donald Trump won, because Barack Obama didn't come in here and save the country. He didn't close Guantanamo. He didn't do most of the stuff that he promised he was going to do. And the big thing that he did get through was his health care did not work. In fact, it set us back. How, you know, the front end of that was, well, the insurance companies are out of control. They got a monopoly. So what are we going to do? We're going to force you to buy their product. That's like saying drugs are really, really bad. Really bad, and we need to shut drug dealers down. So what we're probably going to have to do is, now it's mandatory, you buy stuff from the drug dealers, because, yeah, we're going to show them.
And you have to buy the drugs. You have to. If you don't buy the drugs, then you're going to get penalized at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. And then if you don't, then we're going to fine you. So it's the same with Trump as it is with Obama or with, you know, with any politician. You have to look at not only what they're saying, because what they're saying is usually garbage. You have to look at their actions and what they're doing. People that run for office, senators, people don't pay attention to the voting records of a lot of people in Congress. And a lot of people in Congress, you hear them talk, and they go, okay, that sounds pretty good. And then you go look at their voting record, and you're like, you're a terrible person. Why did you do any of this stuff? Rubio, for example, he comes out there, oh, he's, you know, he is what he is, with that, you know, that kind of got shut down. But in behind the scenes, he's taking money from the private prison industry. That's crazy. But again, it's political spin, it's political rhetoric. You see it with every single politician. And it's up to us, not as anti-media, but it's up to us as human beings, as people, to you listening, to your friends, to your neighbors, to not just automatically go, everything Trump does is wrong, or to automatically go, everything Trump does is right. It's to look at what happens and go, is this good or bad? Is this true or a lie? And where do we go from here? And that's what people should do with Democrats, with Republicans, anybody. They're there to represent you. And we can say, okay, that was good. Or, hey, we need to question this. But again, the divisiveness, that's what, you know, we talked about that forever on the show. That's where we get into big problems. Everything's good, everything's bad, everything's this, everything's that. That doesn't solve anything, because you have half the population ignoring certain things, and you have another half that's cheering on certain things, like, ah, whatever. So, a couple minutes here. Any parting words from you, Kevin, sir?
In the Kevin. Fed, baby, that's it.
If Donald Trump really wanted to make America great again, he would end the Fed. All right, well, that's it for us. Shannon, got anything real quick?
Yeah, Vladimir Putin, I want my check, bitch.
I doubt we're going to get it, but, you know, whatever. Screw Russia, too. For Anti-Media, I'm S.M. Gibson, Shannon Madden, Kevin Knight. We'll be back on Thursday. Anti-Media Radio out. I'ma let him know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.